Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
We are told that Jesus is a man of sorrows and acquainted with sorrows. And certainly one of the sorrows that he is acquainted with is the rejection he suffers throughout the course of his ministry here on earth. As God incarnate, he ought to be welcomed, not only by his own people, but by all people. He ought to be hailed and praised, but that is not the case in most cases when it comes to Jesus. He lives a life rejected by men, cast off, considered, as the prophet Isaiah tells us, as someone to be scorned, even by his hometown folks. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Thursday, December 29th, joining us to do so in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
So let's talk a little bit about a contrast that we find between where we were last time in John chapter 4, where Jesus is at a Samaritan village, and now he's in Nazareth. How would you contrast those two receptions?
One would think that the hometown would really be happy, but we're going to find out the reason why they did not become happy with Jesus, because much of Judaism at that time, and remember, that's somewhat of a different religion than the Old Testament Israel religion, they did not like Gentiles or Samaritans. And so when Jesus applies the message that he's preaching and talks about two Gentiles that had miracles while others did not, they become very angry at him. It is really a stark contrast between in Samaria, where you would think that the people wouldn't want to have anything to do with a Jew, that the Holy Spirit creates faith in Samaritans, not only when they hear the woman at the well talk to them about Jesus, but specifically when they go to Jesus, he stays there for 2 days and kind of gives an adult instruction class during that time. I've noticed, both in my own experience and in the experience of families, it's really difficult for a person to help out the immediate relatives. Maybe it would be a sibling or an aunt or an uncle or nephews. And I often will bring another pastor in because it's interesting that I'm not really able to switch them around sometimes, but somebody from outside the family is able to, and that's why pastors are really busy in counseling family members, because a lot of times there's certain relationships, say, between children and parents that doesn't make it easy for the parents to encourage the kids to continue to come to church or whatever the matter is. That's why youth confirmation is so critically important, so they get into the habit of knowing this and having parents who also attend church and love the Lord Jesus.
Now, he comes to Nazareth, and it says, as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. What's going on here? What's happening, and what's this event Jesus is at?
Jesus was well known as a prophet because he had done wonderful miracles, etc. And so during a Sabbath worship service, those who had particularly disciples whom Jesus had chosen, that was kind of different because usually the disciples would choose the one they would follow, but they would then be permitted to speak on a biblical text. They would first read it, then he would give back the scroll to the attendant, And he began to speak to them and said, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So he was able to do that because he did have the reputation of being a prophet in the sense of also doing all these miraculous works. And we're going to see that's what the people were going to be expecting from him.
He actually reads from the Isaiah scroll.
Yes.
And it appears that he picks out this spot because it says the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Where does he go in Isaiah? What do the words say that Jesus reads there and is and prepares to speak on?
Yes, it's Isaiah 61. I'm doing a study at Trinity Orchard Farm about how many Old Testament passages are fulfilled in the New Testament. I thought there were about 300, 350 that I have. My good friend Peter Kurowski said, no, there's actually 1,000. And I'm beginning to agree with him because you can hardly read anywhere in Messiah that doesn't become a prophecy of the coming Messiah and in Isaiah. So Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who were oppressed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, the acceptable year of the Lord, he was referring to the year of Jubilee. In the Old Testament, once every 50 years, the Jewish people would celebrate the year of Jubilee. And that's all laid out in Leviticus chapter 25. Debt was forgiven, prisoners were set free, land that had been repossessed was returned to its original owner. And so some of our modern-day laws providing for bankruptcy actually are formed out of the book of Leviticus. And then when he talks about the brokenhearted, this is are those who have learned to suffer in the school of experience. And it's actually from a Hebrew word, shabhar, which means to break in pieces. Those are the people. Captives, he's talking about, refer to victims of evil habit. And they are often carried off as booty after a war and enslaved. Those who are bound are those to whom light was denied, because at times even their eyes are bound, which reminds us again of Isaiah 42, verse 7. He's come to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and those who sit in darkness from the prison house. So he's referring to these individuals that the people would be somewhat aware of because readings from Isaiah and the Psalms were often used. Finally, Isaiah 61 says specifically to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And that's really what Jesus is saying is his mission when he comes, and that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He is the anointed one. In fact, the word anointed is even used in verse 18 because it says, he has anointed me. The word anoint, when you translate it into the Hebrew, it's Messiah. And when you translate it into the Greek, it's Christ. So he's come to transform sorrows because he's going to transform mourners. And that is really the business of the Christian church.
Well, now, Tom, at first, he even sits down, hands a scroll back to the attendant, says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. We need to talk about those words. And it says, all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. It sounds like he was well received in spite of what he had just said there at the beginning of his sermon, which is, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Say a little bit more about that.
Yes. I notice when I do teach, for example, the prophecies from the Old Testament, many of them are unknown by the people who are sitting in the Bible study, even though they may have heard those passages read during a worship service, etc. In other words, when I hear the words that they spoke well of him because of the gracious words that were coming from his mouth, you know, they're imprisoned by the Romans, so to speak. And so many of them might be thinking that, yes, that's the task of the Messiah, because that was taught by some of the religious leaders, to get rid of the Romans, to restore Israel to its former grandeur. And therefore, they're speaking well of him because maybe they hadn't realized what he was saying about the Old Testament verses. But of course, he's not talking about the temporal situation that they're experiencing, but he's talking also about the spiritual situation. Even when he restored sight to the blind man who was blind since birth, he made it very clear to him later that he was the Messiah who is bringing more than sight to the blind, but light to the unbelievers so that they might have an eternal home in heaven.
Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Thursday, December 29th. We're right there in Luke chapter 4. Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. Pastor Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. More with him after this. Christians, young and old, are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldusa.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus is Rejected at Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. Tom, first, he's well received. They say his gracious words are coming from his mouth. They speak well of him. They marvel at all of this. And then they say, is not this Joseph's son? And that seems to trigger the next part of this conversation that Jesus initiates with them about what you mentioned before, earlier in our conversation, about these these incidents of Gentile, God doing miracles among the Gentiles and things like that. What does Jesus have to say, and why does he go that direction?
He goes in that direction because they're still not aware of what Simeon knew, and we expressed this even last week, where in his, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace," that this baby in the temple at that time is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So Jesus is trying to expand their understanding of who these words in Isaiah are for, to set at liberty, to proclaim liberty, recovering sight, to proclaim good news. And so he applies it by using two examples. The first one's in verse 25. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when, of course, there was no rain going on. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. She was a Gentile. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha. None of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Now, he also was a Gentile. In fact, he had defeated Israel, and it was because of a little girl that he had conquered and put in his house to take care of his wife from Israel that told him about Elisha. And he went to him, and then he didn't even want to get cleansed because the rivers are cleaner where he came from than where Elisha told him to clean. But he was finally persuaded, and then he was cleansed. Now, the next verse is, when they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. By the way, this Luke chapter 4 is a good chapter to show that the gospel writers did not necessarily write in a chronological way. They would be making points through the gospels, and even though much at the crucifixion was chronologically accurate, we have here the people saying, "We have heard what you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." But the Capernaum incident doesn't come until later in the chapter. He's teaching in the city of Galilee, Capernaum. They also are astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. In other words, he's not just repeating what the rabbis, all the rest of them, said. He was giving new insights into the Old Testament. And there he heals a man who has the spirit of an unclean demon, and he has him come out of him. And when that comes out, they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And then the next verse is, "And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region." So even these at Nazareth had heard about this wonderful miracle at Capernaum, and they were expecting Jesus to do that. But he specifically mentions that the miracles he mentions in the Old Testament were not done to Israel, but they were done to Gentiles, both the widow and the leper. And that makes them really angry. It says they were filled with wrath, and they attempted to take him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built and throw him down the cliff. But here again, it wasn't time for Jesus to die. And so the verse says, "Passing through their midst, he went away." Now, how that specifically happened, we don't know. Did he become invisible? Were they unable to get close to him? At any rate, the Father, if it was his divine power at work here, allowed Jesus to escape from a certain death, which would have meant not only being thrown down the cliff, but also being stoned.
With about a minute here, I've got a couple final questions, but with about a minute for this first one, what makes them so angry about Jesus' statement?
It would be like me getting up and saying, you know, what we need to do is not only allow immigrants to come into the United States, but specifically radical Muslims who want to kill us so that we might have an opportunity to share with them the message of Jesus Christ. I don't think that would go very well in any congregation. Immigrants, yes, who are properly vetted, no problem. But once you talk about an enemy that is trying to kill us and we allow them into the country, no. In this Nazareth, the Gentiles were considered that kind of enemy. They didn't want them in their midst. And therefore, when Jesus made it clear that they too were to be part of the kingdom of God, they were filled with wrath. Something the Sunday school children should realize, that many times when they speak the gospel, people will not like them because it goes against common sense thinking.
Does this rejection at Nazareth, does it serve as an example of what John's gospel says? He came unto his own and his own did not receive him.
Absolutely, because his own, Paul expands that in Romans 9 to 11, where he talks about not all Israel is of Israel. There's the Israel who thinks they're saved because they're related back to Abraham, but the true Israel, the Holy Christian Church, they're the ones saved because they believe the promises given to Abraham about the Messiah and now believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of those promises.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you so much.
If you appreciate our weekly Sunday School lessons with Pastor Tom Baker, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure year-end contribution online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of 2016. Up next, probably one of the most profound Lutheran theologians of the 17th century, profound not only in his knowledge of God's Word, but its pastoral application, Johann Gerhardt on Jesus' Birth with Dr. Ben Mays. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Of the Father's love we God. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Do you have skills as a coder, designer, writer, marketer, project manager, or are interested in building websites? Do you want to help the church proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in? If yes, you should join our WordSites team. WordSites is a group of tech-savvy volunteers who help fellow Lutheran organizations build effective websites. Plus, we have fun while we're doing it. To submit your name or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website, reformed.